Welcome to 10 Verses a Day and week 36. We begin our readings in Acts chapter 19 and at verse 21. Now, after all these things had taken place, Paul resolved to go to Jerusalem, passing through Macedonia and Achaia. He said, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." So after sending two of his assistants, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia, he himself stayed on for a while in the province of Asia. At that time, a great disturbance took place concerning the way, for a man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought a great deal of business to the craftsmen. He gathered these together along with the workmen in similar trades and said, "Men, you know that our prosperity comes from this business, and you see and hear that this Paul has persuaded and turned away a large crowd, not only in Ephesus, but in practically all the province of Asia, by saying that gods made by hands are not gods at all. There's danger, not only that this business of ours will come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be regarded as nothing, and she whom all the province of Asia and the world worship will suffer the loss of her greatness." Tuesday. When they heard this, they became enraged and began to shout, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" The city was filled with uproar, and the crowd rushed to the theatre together, dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus, the Macedonians who were Paul's travelling companions. But when Paul wanted to enter the public assembly, the disciples would not let him. Even some of the provincial authorities who were his friends sent a message to him, urging him not to enter into the theatre. So then, some were shouting one thing, some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and most of them did not know why they had met together. Some of the crowd concluded it was about Alexander, because the Jews had pushed him to the front. Alexander, gesturing with his hand, was wanting to make a defence before the public assembly. But when they recognised that he was a Jew, they all shouted in unison, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" for about 2 hours. Wednesday. After the city secretary quieted the crowd, he said, "Men of Ephesus, what person is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is the keeper of the temple of the great Artemis, and of her image that fell from heaven? So because these facts are indisputable, you must keep quiet and not do anything reckless. For you have brought these men here who are neither temple robbers nor blasphemers of our goddess. If then Demetrius and the craftsmen who are with him have a complaint against someone, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another there. But if you want anything in addition, it will have to be settled in a legal assembly, for we are in danger of being charged with rioting today, since there is no cause we can give to explain this disorderly gathering." After he had said this, he dismissed the assembly. Thursday. After the disturbance had ended, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them and saying farewell, he left to go to Macedonia. After he had gone through those regions and spoken many words of encouragement to the believers there, he came to Greece, where he stayed for 3 months. Because the Jews had made a plot against him, as he was intending to sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. Paul was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus, from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, and Timothy, as well as Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. These had gone on ahead and were waiting for us in Troas. We sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and within 5 days we came to the others in Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. On the first day of the week, when we met to break bread, Paul began to speak to the people. And because he intended to leave the next day, he extended his message until midnight. Now there were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. A young man named Eutychus, who was sitting in the window, was sinking into a deep sleep while Paul continued to speak for a long time. Fast asleep, he fell down from the third story and was picked up dead. But Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him and said, "Do not be distressed, for he is still alive." Then Paul went back upstairs, and after he had broken bread and eaten, he talked with them a long time until dawn. Then he left. They took the boy home alive and were greatly comforted. Friday. We went on ahead to the ship and put out to sea for Assos, intending to take Paul aboard there, for he had arranged it this way. He himself was intending to go there by land. When he met us in Assos, we took him aboard and went to Mytilene. We set sail from there, and on the following day we arrived off Chios. The next day we approached Samos, and the day after that we arrived at Miletus, for Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus, so as not to spend time in the province of Asia, for he was hurrying to arrive in Jerusalem, if possible by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus he sent a message to Ephesus, telling the elders of the church to come to him. When they arrived, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I set foot in the province of Asia, serving the Lord with all humility, and with tears, and with the trials that happened to me because of the plots of the Jews. You know that I did not hold back from proclaiming to you anything that would be helpful, and from teaching you publicly, and from house to house, testifying to both Jews and Greeks about repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Holy Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem without knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit warns me in town after town that imprisonment and persecutions are waiting for me. But I do not consider my life worth anything to myself, so that I may finish my task and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the good news of God's grace." Saturday. "And now I know that none of you among whom I went around proclaiming the kingdom will see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of you all, for I did not hold back from announcing to you the whole purpose of God. Watch out for yourselves and for all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, that he obtained with the blood of his own Son. I know that after I am gone, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Even among your own group, men will arise, teaching perversions of the truth to draw the disciples away after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that night and day for 3 years I did not stop warning each one of you with tears. And now I entrust you to God and to the message of his grace. This message is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have desired no one's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine provided for my needs and the needs of those who are with me. By all these things I have shown you that by working in this way we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" When he had said these things, he knelt down with them all and prayed. They all began to weep loudly and hugged Paul and kissed him, especially saddened by what he had said, that they were not going to see him again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Sunday. After we tore ourselves away from them, we put out to sea, and sailing a straight course, we came to Kos. On the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. We found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, went aboard and put out to sea. After we sighted Cyprus and left it behind on our port side, we sailed on to Syria and put in at Tyre, because the ship was to unload its cargo there. After we located the disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They repeatedly told Paul through the Spirit not to set foot in Jerusalem. When our time was over, we left and went on our way. All of them with their wives and children accompanied us outside of the city. After kneeling down on the beach and praying, we said farewell to one another. Then we went aboard the ship and they returned to their homes. We continued the voyage from Tyre and arrived at Ptolemais. And when we had greeted the brethren, we stayed with them for 1 day. On the next day, we left and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the Evangelist, who was one of the 7, and stayed with him. He had 4 unmarried daughters who prophesied.